Lou Regani, the music of the stars continues.
Streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. At least 9 people have died in powerful storms in at least 3 states now, including Texas. Ray Roberts lives in Sanger near the Oklahoma border and says a twister destroyed his trailer.
The car is destroyed. It must have picked up my car and just spun it because the whole back end is all twisted up. And it's a big Lincoln.
Roberts is okay, but many people there were also injured. Mixed reaction during former President Trump's speech last night while he was addressing the Libertarian Party National Convention in Washington, D.C. He's trying to appeal to third-party voters ahead of the election. Meantime, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz talked about whether he'd accept the results in November, no matter who wins.
I would respect it if Joe Biden doesn't win. I would expect Donald Trump to be certified. That's how normal people act. We have to beat him at the ballot box. I've said that all along.
That's Walz on CNN. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Experts say black voters in Wisconsin could hold the keys to the White House in November. Alex Gonzalez has more on a growing and changing key voting bloc.
Rashawn Ray with the Brookings Institution says contrary to a popular misconception, black voters are not a monolith and do turn out to vote, with 2024 being no exception.
Oftentimes they are choosing between the lesser of two evils because we have an overly simplistic two-party system. And then the other part of this, there are some people who would rather stay at home than vote for someone who they don't think aligns with their particular politics and their cultural values.
Ray says the narrative that black people don't vote is simply not true. Eligible black voters stand out for higher turnout rates than their Latino and Asian counterparts, according to Pew Research Center. They also tend to be younger than voters overall, with about 60% of eligible black voters being under the age of 50. Project director with the nonprofit organization Black Girls Vote, Ashley C.J. Daniels, calls black women a powerhouse behind Democratic Party wins and adds that many have gotten politically engaged, especially since 2020. But she adds that researchers like her know there is what she calls an enthusiasm gap in the 2024 election.
Looking at some of, like, you know, the data, you have, you know, numerous reasons why that there is an enthusiasm gap. You have, you know, some black folks that are concerned about the ceasefire, you know, that's going on in Gaza. And there's, you have some black folks that are concerned about reproductive justice. You have others that are concerned about economics. So there's like a variance.
Daniel says it's important politicians understand that the black vote is more complex than was previously considered. Black voters hold a range of ideologies, including conservative views, that account for about 10% of black voters consistently voting for Republican candidates. I'm Alex Gonzalez. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
A series win in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Fenway Park in Boston, where the Brewers beat the Red Sox again, this time 6-3. Joey Ortiz with a 2-run double in the third to kick off a 5-run rally. And for the second day in a row, the Brewers used Jared Koenig as a starter for just the first or second inning. Lefty against left-handed batters in the Red Sox lineup. How rare is that? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I think it happens a lot. You know, a starter gives you a good start and a reliever comes in and gives you an inning and a third. We just did it reverse. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's like a magical plan that everybody has kind of the same plan, you know. Using an opener is not anything new.
The Brewers had a no-hitter going with Colin Ray until the seventh, so they win the series, game 3 today at Fenway. Then they return back to Milwaukee, where they take on the Cubs for a 4-game series beginning on Monday, Memorial Day. The final, 6-3, Brewers over the Red Sox. From Fenway Park, Boston, with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Next guest is trying to change that with USAA's Poppy Wall of Honor, featuring over 600,000 poppies honoring those who gave their lives. Joining us now is retired U.S. Army Major General and USAA Senior Vice President John Richardson. First of all, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for serving us in this way. Tell us about this wall and what it means.
Sure, and thanks for having us this morning. So I'm standing here at the USAA Poppy Wall of Honor here on the National Mall, and behind me you'll see over 600,000 poppies, each one representing an American who gave their life for this country. And we're here really for three main purposes: to educate, to inspire, and to give the American public a place where they can come and remember and honor those who gave their lives for this country, which is what Memorial Day is really all about.
You know, you guys have had this wall on display for 4 years, since 2019. What has been the reception of people that visit? What's their reaction? Is it something that it's you're more inspired seeing it in person? Tell us about it.
Sure, it's an inspirational temporary installation, and I'll just give you an example from yesterday. We had a Gold Star mother who came here and had the opportunity to reflect on the loss of her son, and the pride and sorrow that you could just see in her expression, and then people rallying around her and comforting her and thanking her and her Gold Star family for that ultimate sacrifice. And then a World War II veteran that came here yesterday. This year we have a special panel dedicated to the 80th anniversary of D-Day.
Oh, wow.
And we had a D-Day veteran here who teared up and cried as he thought about the 2,500 Americans who he hit the beach with who didn't come back. And that's really what this wall is about, to provide that central location here on the National Mall for people to remember and honor those who gave their life for the country.
AM 1400 WRJN.
Music of the Stars on our final hour for today. The Music of the Stars, Francis Albert. This was never released. We're hearing it now, the first time.
With you, one September. Between the ashes and the burning. Thank you.
Stars Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Lou Regani, on the Civic Media Radio Network, coast to coast and worldwide at civicmedia.us. And Bette Midler did a great picture about 30 years ago for the boys. It's about the U.S. soul. Here's a clip from that.
The stars of our show and America's chicest couple, Eddie Sparks and Dixie Leonard.
Remember you.
I'd like to say that you're
the one who made my dreams come true.
You're usually dead,
a few
without a head.
This is a goal.
And lots of natives are picking their teeth with your bones.
I remember too.
Oh, what a dream.
Distant bell.
It comes at night and taunts
and
me.
Stars that fell.
And like your jokes,
like
it haunts me until I'm blue as your face as the last breath.
When my life is through,
I'll jump for joy.
And the angels ask me to recall.
Who's a chump and a heel?
The thrill of it all.
Who's the biggest schlemiel?
Then I will tell them I remember.
So, it's my birthday coming up.
Yeah, I know, Eddie.
But what do you give a guy that's got everything?
Penicillin.
Hey, Dix, you ever been married?
Oh, yeah, Eddie, twice.
Children?
No, silly. Grown men. Tell me, Eddie, what's the most romantic thing a woman ever said to you?
Are you sure you're not a cop?
Thank you. you.
You.
Music of the Stars, Kenneth Branagh. Remembering those who made it possible to hear programs like, well, like this.
Where is the king? The king himself is rode to view their battle.
Fighting men. They have full 70,000.
That's 5-1. Besides, they are all fresh.
It is a fearful odds.
Oh, that we now had here but 10,000 of those men in England that do no work today.
What's he that wishes so?
My cousin Westmoreland?
No, my fair cousin. If we are marked to die, we are enough to do our country loss. And if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor. God's will, I pray thee, wish not one man more. Brother, proclaim it, Westmoreland, through my host, that he which hath no stomach to this fight, let him depart. His passport shall be made, and grounds for convoy put into his purse. We would not die in that man's company that fears his fellowship to die with us. This day is called the Feast of Crispian. He that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand at tiptoe when this day is named, and rouse him at the name of Crispian. He that shall see this day and live old age will yearly, on the vigil, feast his neighbors and say, tomorrow is St. Crispin's. Then will he strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Crispin's day. Old men forget, yet all shall be forgot, but he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. Then shall our names, familiar in their mouths as household words, Harry the King, Bedford and Exeter, Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester, be in their flowing cups freshly remembered. This story shall the good man teach his son, and Crispin Crispian shall ne'er go by from this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, for he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhoods cheap, whilst any speaks that fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day!
Sovereign Lord, bestow yourself with speed. The French are bravely in their battle set and will with all expedience march upon us.
All things are ready if our minds be so.
Perish the man whose mind is backward now.
Thou dost not wish more help from England, cuz?
God's will, my liege. Would you and I alone, without more help, can fight this royal battle?
Yeah! You know your places. God be with you all.
once more I come to know thee, King Harry, if for thy ransom thou wilt now compound before thy most assured overthrow.
Who hath sent thee now?
The Constable of France.
I pray thee bear my former answer back. Bid them achieve me and then sell my bones. God, God! Why should they mock poor fellows thus? Let me speak proudly. Tell the constable, we are but warriors for the working day. Our gayness and our guilt are all besmirched with rainy marching in the painful field. But by the mass, our hearts are in the trim. Herald, save thou thy labor. Come thou no more for ransom, gentle herald. They shall have none, I swear, but these my joints, which, if they have, as I shall leave in them, shall yield them little. Tell the constable.
I shall, King Harry. And so fare thee well. Thou never shalt hear herald any more.
My lord, most humbly on my knee, I beg the leading of the Barwood. Take it, brave York. Now, soldiers, march away. And how thou pleasest God.
Kenneth Branagh, Shakespeare's
The Day.
Classic play.
Domine, Domine, to O Dag
music of the stars. Sundays on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Although some people say he's just a crazy guy, to me he means a million other things. For he's the one who taught this happy heart of mine to fly. He wears a pair of silver wings. And though it's pretty tough, the job he does above, I wouldn't have him change it for a king. An ordinary fellow in the uniform I love, he wears a pair of silver wings. I'm so full of pride when we go walking. Every time he's home on leave, he with those wings on his tunic, me with my heart on my sleeve. But when I'm left alone and we are far apart, I sometimes wonder what tomorrow brings. For I adore that crazy guy who taught my happy heart to wear a pair of silver of pride when we go walking. Every time he's home on leave, he with those wings on his tunic, me with my heart on my sleeve. But when I'm left alone and we are far apart, I sometimes wonder what tomorrow brings. For I adore that crazy guy who taught my happy heart to wear a pair of
ask me why I love her? Well, give me time. I'll explain. You've seen a Kansas sunset or an Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana way? Have you watched the cold fog drifting over San Francisco Bay? Have you heard a Bob White calling in the Carolina pines? Or heard the bellow of a diesel at the Appalachia mines? Does the call of the Niagara thrill you when you hear her waters roar? You look with awe and wonder at her Massachusetts shore, where men who braved a hard new world first stepped on Plymouth Rock. Do you think of them when you stroll along a New York City dock? Have you seen a snowflake drifting in the Rockies way up high? Have you seen the sun come blazing down from a bright Nevada sky? You hail to the Columbia as you rush into the sea, or bow your head at Gettysburg in our struggle to be free? Have you seen the mighty Tetons? You watched an eagle soar? Have you seen the Mississippi roll along Missouri's shore? Have you felt a chill at Michigan when on a winter's day her waters rage along the shore and thunderous display? Does the word aloha make you warm. You stare in disbelief when you see the surf come roaring in at Waimea Reef. From Alaska's cold to the Everglades, from the Rio Grande to Maine, my heart cries out. My pulse runs fast, the might of her domain. You ask me why I love her? I've a million reasons why. My beautiful America, beneath God's wide, wide sky.
Tabernacle Choir. This is music by John Williams on the Music of the Stars. I found a powerful Memorial Day speech from a former prisoner of war. Honoring the fallen on this Memorial Day at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial.
Thank you very much. I wish I had that voice. Good afternoon, General McNair, General Williamson, Colonel Black, Mr. Knotts, my family, Sharon, Debbie, Maddie, and Gail. Thank you so much for being here, and particularly you Gold Star parents. We're all so grateful for your sacrifice. Thank you, Jim Knotts and the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund, for allowing me this singular honor. I am humbled and privileged to be able to speak on this sacred day at this sacred place where we honor our fallen, and particularly those from the Vietnam War. I personally have a close association with many, too many, names on this wall of polished granite. Memorial Day for me is a time of somber reflection and profound gratitude. As the rabbi told us, the first Memorial Day was called Decoration Day, and Major General John Logan of the Union Army declared that it should be on May 30, 1868. And on that first Memorial Day, the New Arlington Cemetery held the graves of about 20,000 Union dead and a few hundred Confederate dead. And the Custis Lee Mansion, which had been owned by Confederate General Robert E. Lee and his wife, who was the step-great-granddaughter of George Washington, was solemnly bedecked with black mourning crepe. General and Mrs. Grant presided, and after the speeches, the children, newly orphaned by the war, walked through the cemetery, strewing flowers, saying prayers, singing hymns, and honoring the fallen, honoring those who made the ultimate sacrifice for their country. It was an attempt at national reconciliation after a very divisive war which ripped in two the fabric of our nation. And now, the gently rolling 624 green acres just across the Potomac, with its mute white stones, hold over 300,000 grave sites. Many of those grave sites enshrine the fallen from our conflict in Vietnam, which this wall behind me commemorates. In our time, the Vietnam War was a terribly divisive conflict, which became more acrimonious and disruptive the longer it went on, and it went on for a very long time, almost three times as long as our Civil War. The Vietnam War was unique in our history in that many Americans who were against the war focused their anger on those in the military who had answered the call of their government and gone halfway around the world to fight and die in jungles and swamps and rice paddies in what became an increasingly unpopular cause. Have we finally learned in the last 50 years that the military's mission is to execute policy, not to make it, and soldiers don't get to choose their wars? I went to Vietnam on a United Airlines contract flight as a 26-year-old doctor in starched khakis. I left Vietnam as a 33-year-old in POW clothes who hadn't seen his family in 6 years, but had seen unspeakable horrors and suffering. I served with many soldiers whose names are etched into this wall, and 10 of those, 10, I held their heads in my hands as they passed to the other side.
Thank you.
perfectly single ode. I walk alone because to tell you the truth, I'll be lonely. I don't mind being lonely when my heart tells me you are lonely too. I walk alone, they'll ask me why, and I'll tell them I'd rather.
Carousel, the Tabernacle Choir. just to tell you the truth, I am lonely. I don't mind being lonely when my heart tells me you are lonely too. I'll walk alone. They'll ask me why, and I'll say that I'd rather. There are dreams I must gather, dreams we fashioned the night. I'll walk alone, because to tell you the truth, I am lonely. I don't mind being lonely when my heart tells me you are lonely too. I'll walk alone, because to tell you the truth, I am lonely. I don't mind being lonely when my heart tells me you. It's Lou Regani on the Music of the Stars. It's an honor to be able to do yet another Memorial Day program. It's the Civic Media Radio Network. That was Clint Eastwood you just heard. These are the Ray Charles Singers. Until next week, then, keep your dreams alive. Reach for the stars. We utter June. Oh, the songs about June. Can you think of about seven of them right now? No, don't try it yet. Next week, chime along. June, spoon, moon, tune. Yeah, it's March where there's a deficit. Not too many for November either. Until next week, thanks for being here. Best music ever, the music of the stars.